Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Scorekeeper, I think that's pretty doggone good for a seven-year-old scorekeeper.
Nice job, Chad.
And then there's the participation of that incredible Seattle audience.
You know, we get a lot of boos and a lot of hisses.
That's right, we get a
but
boo.
Never a collective awe.
Well, this is Seattle.
You're just the loveliest audience.
More shameless pandering after this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Today in Cape Town, South Africa, President Obama gives a keynote speech of his trip through the continent. NPR's Ari Shapiro is traveling with the president and has his preview.
The central initiative in this speech is a new program called Power Africa. Right now, more than two-thirds of the people in sub-Saharan Africa get by without electricity, according to the White House. Through this program, President Obama hopes to double access to power on the continent. The strategy relies on investment from private companies as well as government programs. It will start in six African countries. The White House says this first phase will bring electricity to 20 million new households. This sort of public-private collaboration is key to the Obama administration's approach to Africa generally. The president says the era of handouts is over. Instead, he's focusing on economic partnerships that he says will help both Africa and the United States. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Cape Town.
Thousands of opponents and supporters of Egypt's president are taking to the streets in a day of protests that many fear could turn violent. In Cairo, flag-waving crowds have descended on Tahrir Square near the presidential palace. Some supporters of Mohamed Morsi say they are wearing homemade body armor and carrying shields and clubs as a precaution against violence. Demonstrations are being held on the first anniversary of Morsi's inauguration. At least 16 people have been killed by a car bomb in the Pakistani city of Peshawar. It detonated close to a military convoy. But as NPR's Philip Rees reports, officials say most of the dead are civilians.
Police believe the target was a convoy carrying paramilitary Pakistani troops through the outskirts of Peshawar. The blast hit one convoy vehicle, but didn't disable the others, which passed by. The dead appear mostly to be civilians who happen to be in the area and reportedly include several children. The bomb also injured dozens of passers-by and damaged shops and cars. Peshawar's close to Pakistan's tribal belt, a haven for Islamist militants carrying out regular attacks within Pakistan. This bombing comes 1 week after the Taliban killed 10 foreign tourists in a remote mountain area. It coincides with a visit to Pakistan by British Prime Minister David Cameron, who vowed to stand alongside Pakistan in the fight against terrorism. Philip Reeves, NPR News, Islamabad.
In Uganda, a crash involving a fuel tanker has killed at least 29 people, 30 others said to be badly injured. The BBC's Catherine Byorahanga reports from Kampala.
The accident happened as traffic built up on one of the capital's main highways. A car crashed into the back of a moving fuel tanker, causing it to leak. Men and women by the road then rushed to collect the leaking petrol. At the moment, it's not clear how the fire was ignited. The police say the victims of the accident, who were on fire, rushed to a nearby swamp, but the flames could not be immediately extinguished. Many of the dead and injured were found in the water.
And you're listening to NPR News. The social networking giant Facebook says it will now prohibit ads from appearing on user pages that contain sexual or violent content. The move comes after the site lost several advertisers last month as part of an online boycott to protest hate speech, as NPR's Lauren Hodges reports.
Facebook says beginning Monday it will improve and expand its so-called flagging system, which removes content that violates community standards on hate speech, threats, and pornography. In May, the activist group Women Action in the Media called for an advertising boycott on Facebook, alerting businesses whose ads were being displayed alongside user-generated pages that promote violence against women. Advertising accounts for about 85% of Facebook's revenue. Businesses pay to reach the site's 1.1 billion users with ads shown on the right-hand side of the screen. Facebook's announcement also includes a promise to keep ads off pages that might be viewed as unsavory, even if they don't violate community standards. Lauren Hodges, NPR News.
The San Francisco Bay Area could be looking at a transit strike. Union negotiator Josie Mooney says it's likely.
We will wait till the trains are put to bed. We will not strike before the system is safe and sound. And we do this with regret.
The contract for the two unions that represent 2,400 train operators, station agents, mechanics, and others expires at midnight tonight, leaving some 400,000 riders in limbo for the commute tomorrow morning. Bay Area Rapid Transit spokesman Rick Rice says the agency is planning to attend talks today.
We've had interactions. We're making some movement. It's progress is being made.
Both sides say they remain far apart, though, on key issues including salaries, pensions, health care, and safety. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Pimsleur Language Programs, celebrating 50 years in 2013 and offering portable audio courses in 50 languages. Pimsleur.com.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in Seattle comes from the good folks at KUOW-FM and the Fairmont Olympic Hotel, on the National Register of Historic Places and on the web at fairmont.com/Seattle. And many thanks to the Clemente Course for the Humanities, teaching the humanities at a college level to people living in economic distress. On the web at clementecourse.org. That's C-L-E-M-E-N-T-E.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From the stage at Town Hall Seattle in Seattle, Washington, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Radio icon and voice for the ages, Tony Khan. Filmmaker, professor, adverb, advocate, Garland Waller. And documentarian television host, the Prince of Pronouns, Mr. Barry Nolan. Who leads this week?
The aging voice.
Tony.
That's right.
To my left, team two, producer, performer, raconteur, Arnie Reisman. Columnist, critic, pun, and funster, Carolyn Faye Fox. And executive coach, author, the laugh we love to hear, Miss Paula Lyons. Who's the leader?
Captain Funster here.
Funster, right.
Captain Funster. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin a round of common threads. What common thread ties together the following people, places, or things? Help comes from Gene Wolfe, or Jean Wolfe, I don't know, of Capitola, California, who hears us on KAZU-FM. Thanks, Jean or Gene. Carolyn?
Yes?
What's the common thread? Game, G-A-M-E. Pitch, P-I-T-C-H. Mm-hmm. Tense, T-E-N-S-E. Mm-hmm. And storm, S-T-O-R-M.
Perfect.
Game, pitch, tense, and storm.
Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect is exactly, it is the common thread.
Yep. As he said, game.
You can have a perfect game, perfect pitch, yeah, perfect tense, yeah, or perfect storm. Very good. Nicely done. Try this one, Tony. What's the common thread? Farrow, F-A-R-R-O-W. Poult, P-O-U-L-T. Puggle, P-U-G-G-L-E.
P-U-G-G, okay.
Leveret, L-E-V-E-R-E-T. And Elver, E-L...
Yeah.
V-E-R.
Well, not having read, you know, that incredible series of books whose title escapes me right now. Harry Potter, thank you very much. The editing will indicate that I knew that from the very beginning. So it sounds like these are all characters at the school, except there must be one who is...
Actually, these aren't capitalized, so if that helps...
Oh, they're not capitalized.
Pharaoh, Polt, okay. Puggle, Leveret, and Elver. Not
are these are these things that you do? These are part of the magic arts?
No.
Is he wrong with? Is he on the right track with Harry Potter?
No, not at all.
Oh, well, in that case, they're all small dogs.
Well, they're all small, that's for sure.
Okay. Pharaoh, Polt, would they have anything to do with birds, like young birds? The young of different kinds of...
I got to give it to them. That's exactly right. They are the young of the species. You want to give a shot at what any
well,
of these
are?
Well,
let's see. The pharaoh would be the young of the...
Woody Allen.
The young of the turkey hawk.
No. I think I'm going to go to Carolyn, who seems to know some of these.
Well, pharaohs are pigs, and poults are baby turkeys, and
right.
Elvers are baby eels.
Yes, that's true.
And a leveret...
Rabbit. Baby rabbit. Baby hare.
A hare. Yeah. And you know what the puggle is? Baby platypus.
Baby or
cabbage. Oh, that is cute.
Oh.
I have to tell you, if you've never seen a baby platypus, Google it. They're absolutely adorable.
You
have to see the picture. Google
a baby platypus.
All right, Arnie, what's the common thread? Rice. R-I-C-E. Milk. Bacon, popcorn, and apple. Rice, milk, bacon, popcorn, and apple. What is the common thread?
It's a grocery list.
Sure is.
Are we missing a word?
We are not, actually. Okay. No, that's not it.
Okay.
Rice,
let's
milk,
see.
Bacon,
popcorn, and apple.
Rice pudding, rice. Bacon pudding. Mm.
No, it's not missing. It's not missing a word.
All right. So.
So, are these names?
They are.
Oh.
Okay. Condoleezza Rice.
Harvey Milk.
Harvey Milk.
Francis Bacon.
Francis Bacon.
Faith Popcorn.
Faith Popcorn. And Fiona Apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
10 points. That's exactly right. I had Kevin Bacon and Jerry Rice, but
that's
I'm
right.
Sure Condoleezza and Sir Francis won't be offended. That's exactly right. They are all famous last names. Try this one, Garland. What's the common thread? Ridicule. Scorn. Pity.
Pity.
And affection.
The dwarfs that were cut out.
Ridicule because everybody made fun
right,
of them.
Right,
forget
no.
this.
Scorn, get the devil out of here.
Ridicule,
fellas?
Scorn, pity, and affection. What's the common thread?
Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah, pretty much.
They are the four mythic children of perhaps something. Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to think
these,
so?
These
are the original names of that girl band.
The Spice Girls.
The Spice Girls.
Ridicule, scorn, pity, and affection.
You know. Original names of the Spice Girls.
The names of the... the
yes,
characters
yes.
in the snacks, Snap,
yes.
Crackle, and Pop commercials.
Okay, got it.
That were rejected.
No, but we're onto something.
Yeah.
I definitely feel we're onto something. And yeah. they've got it, the other side. So.
The other side has it?
Yes.
Yeah. So I know the answer is near.
That's a great comfort.
I you don't think they're getting this one? No.
Should we give up, sweetie?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I'm the captain, so yes.
Oh, yeah.
Go
yes,
to the other side.
It's all tied together by the word object.
Yes, that's exactly
object of ridicule, object of scorn, object of pity, object of affection.
That's exactly
Very
right.
Good.
Very good.
Yeah.
have you.
Sorry. All right, we're going to make these last two really nasty and see how they do. What's the common thread, Paula? Bourbon. B-O-U-R-B-O-N. Bourbon. Blue Mountain.
Blue Mountain.
French Mission.
French Mission.
And Mundo Novo. M-U-N-D-O-N-O-V-O. Bourbon, Blue Mountain, French Mission, and Mundo Novo.
Are they all coffees?
They are all coffees. Very good, Arnold. Wow. Actually, they're not exactly coffees. Do you know what they really... It's close to that.
Coffee beans.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm glad
beans.
I gave you the 10
yeah.
points.
All right.
Coffee beans. Very good. And finally, Barry, and this one is miserably unfair. Give it a shot. What's the common thread? Fire. Earthquakes. Mutiny. And revolution. Fire, earthquakes, mutiny, and revolution.
My mother's cooking.
Yes. And that mutiny boy, 3 o'clock in the morning. You know.
They're the names of record companies.
Oh, well, I don't think so. No, no, not record companies.
They're the names of record, they're the names of something in commerce.
What?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, in an odd way.
Any ideas, Tony?
Well, is it a product?
No.
Okay, these are not variations.
Fire, earthquakes, mutiny, and revolution. What's the common thread?
If they occur, they lead the news.
That's awfully good.
I'm thinking. It's, well, you get 2 points for that. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I thought revolution might give it to you.
You say you want a revolution, you say you want a fire, you say you want an earthquake. I don't think...
Say you want an earthquake.
Earth, wind, and fire.
No. If revolution doesn't give it to you, I think I need to go to the other side, see if they know.
Any idea?
Any help?
I don't know. We're coming.
No.
Rock
no.
bands? I don't know.
Revolution.
Tell them, audience. They are soccer teams. They are major league
right.
soccer teams. I thought the New England Revolution might give it to you.
We have a team back in New England called
Revolution.
The Revolution.
Revolution. Do you have a professional team here?
Yeah.
The Sounders?
Yes.
You have
See
the only
how famous
team
they
the
are?
Wait, did you guys win the championship this year? Oh, sorry. So give them 2 points for that because that's generous. And let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Bottom Line Duo. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points are up for grabs to Tony if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Naumkeag. N-A-U-M-K-E-A-G. Naumkeag. Folks? Says You coming to our town? Where can I find old shows? Who played that music I heard last week? So many questions, all answered on our website. There you can find tickets to tapings, Dally on the Daily Dispatch, or access our complete archive. You can contribute a question to the show and absorb ridicule on a national scale. This and more at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. Batten down the hatches and strap yourselves in. 1 minute of magic from the Bottom Line Duo, right after this from home. That is Tracy and Spencer Hovestlin. Thank you very much, you guys, for giving us a little time with the word Naumkeag. We will go first to Carolyn Faye Fox.
Naumkeag comes to us from the world of cobbling.
A world of what? I'm sorry.
Cobbling. There are many steps in the process of making shoes. And to Naumkeag...
Want some water?
To Naumkeag... is to buff the sole of a shoe or moccasin before finishing it. It is a Native American word from the Ferragamo tribe.
And she does it without shame. That's the thing. There's no shame involved. Buffing the sole of a shoe is to Naumkeag is to buff the sole of a shoe?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. That could be it. It could be something else. What say you, Arnold?
Well, it's certainly in the Native American concept here because it's a small boat that's completely filled with ice attached to the main boat in a fishing expedition, and basically the small boat's used for the surplus of the catch.
I get it. You catch it, you stick the fish in the ice boat, and you don't have to have it on board.
Apparently. Right.
Okay, a small ice boat that's dragged behind.
Small ice boat.
Okay, that could be it. Or, Paula, something else.
What's the correct pronunciation again, Richard?
Naumkeag.
Naumkeag. Well, yeah. The trouble with these cards is they never tell you where the words come from. So we're assuming it's...
Yeah.
It is actually a shed set apart, apparently from the decent people in the village, that is reserved for smoking, drinking, and other kinds of carousing.
Which we used to call outback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The shed where you go to smoke, drink, and carouse and all that, that's the Naumkeag.
The Inuit word for pub.
Yeah. Could be that. It could be the boat filled with ice that you drag behind in the fishing expedition, or it can be to buff the bottom of a sole of a shoe. It is one of those three, and the choice, Tony, is yours.
I'd like another three.
I don't blame you.
If I could. Gosh. Well, obviously they picked up on the Native American thing, so that's no help. That I grew up by the Amaskeag River, and so K-E-A-G probably is Native American. So the question is, if the Amaskeag was one of these really dirty, icy rivers which fueled the cotton industry in Manchester, New Hampshire, between 1860 and about 1920, what does the suffix keg mean? Barry? Oh, geez.
I'd go with the shed.
Yeah, I really love the idea of all of the activities that could be kegging, you know.
Well, it's like a keg party.
Yeah, it's... Oh, now you've put your finger on the reason why it might not be that. Yeah, because of the keg and you're carousing and
you
it's...
You said it was key.
Okay.
I went up to the High Arctic once on a story, and the given the weather there and the fact that when... There's so nothing there that when it's astonishing.
Yeah.
And I can see how they'd have a lot of words that involve smoking and drinking. Yeah.
Actually, perhaps too many vowels to pronounce if you're in that condition.
Yes.
So this brings me to the ice bucket. Now, would, or chili dinghy, whatever that thing is. That
chili dinghy?
What, why would you drag ice? You know, you like completely misunderstood the idea of ice fishing.
Yeah,
you know,
right. Right.
Oh boy, this is a tough one. Okay, it's
Let's
back
go
to
with
the dopey decimal system.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the only even number, and say it's number two.
Well, that's certainly a pretty dramatic statement there. Tony steps forward. He thinks that a noun keg is a small boat filled with ice that you drag behind the fishing expedition. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Of course not.
I didn't think so. No.
I thought the fact that he was stumbling and clearly, you know, coming up with something on the spot meant that he wasn't.
Well, audience, it's your turn. What do you think?
Carol?
How many think the sole of the shoe? How many think the shed out back? Well, Paula, the consensus of the room is it's the shed out back. Is
no,
that in fact?
No, it's not.
It's not. It is not. Which means the definition actually reads...
Noun keg, to buff a shoe bottom prior to finishing.
10 points. For Carolyn's team. Nice job.
Or the Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
Let's go on to round three. A round titled Me and You and a Frog Named Who?
Frog?
Yes.
Okay. Frog.
For 10 points, please describe the following Muppets. Carolyn?
Yes.
Actually, for 8 points, describe Waldorf and Statler.
Oh.
And for the extra 2 points, what's the name of Waldorf's wife?
Salad.
No, it's not.
Astoria?
Astoria is exactly right. That's his wife's name. That's 2 points. Describe Waldorf and Statler.
Waldorf and Statler.
Do you want me to take it?
Please take it, Arnie.
They're the two grouches, old grouches in the balcony that make commentary on everything that goes on below in the Muppet Land.
That's exactly right. He knows his Muppets. 10 points. The two old men sitting in the loge critiquing the show, and Waldorf's wife, of course, is Astoria.
Astoria.
Very good. Try this one, Tony. Please describe the following Muppet. Beaker.
Oh.
Beaker. Well, I'm seeing an extended proboscis of some kind. I think there is some kind of creature.
Not extended. Well,
isn't it? Is he a musician of some kind?
He is not.
No.
I believe he's a scientist.
He is. Can you describe him at all?
He typically has sort of goggles on, wild hair, a lab coat, and he often looks like something just exploded.
10 points, that's right. That's exactly who Baker is.
And his favorite letter is?
I'm sorry.
He also wears saddle shoes and plaid pants. Is he the one that goes,
yes,
beep,
beep, beep, beep? Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
Gee, I missed...
I'm glad I got a chance to do that on national radio. I don't know what. All right, well, then I'll give you a hard one, Arnie. Sergeant Floyd.
Sergeant Floyd?
Yes.
Is this the detective dog?
No, it no. is not. Who is the detective dog? I can't remember. Is that Rolf? No.
No, Rolf plays the piano.
That's right.
Sergeant Floyd.
I'll give you a hint
Sergeant
on this if
yeah.
you need it. But
okay. I'll take the hint.
You'll take the hint?
He's not a cop. He's a military person?
He is neither. Neither.
He is neither. Sergeant is his first name.
Well, there's a reason for that. Yes.
Your guys
Sergeant,
are now help, right?
Sergeant
okay,
Floyd.
I finally got it. No.
He's very cute and cuddly.
Is Sergeant Floyd a human Muppet?
No. Sergeant Floyd, though, does play guitar.
Oh, he's in the band?
He's in the band.
He's in the band with all those
his first name guys. Is Pink.
No. Yeah. It was going to be.
It was it going?
It is actually Sergeant Floyd Pepper.
Oh.
That's what it is. Can you describe him?
It's like he's in the Sergeant Pepper outfit.
How many points?
With the epaulets and the...
The epaulets. Yeah. That's where we want to go. Yeah,
okay.
That's it. You got a hint. You got a couple of hints. Seven points.
All right.
7 points for
all
Sergeant.
Right.
What was the name of the band? Anyone remember? The Electric Mayhem.
Electric Mayhem.
Boy.
Electric
yeah.
Mayhem. We're not going to get a thing past this audience. No way. He was with the Electric Mayhem. Try this one, Garland. Sweetums.
Sweetums. I have no idea.
No idea of Sweetums?
No, but it's got to be somebody sweet.
The love child of the letter Q and the number zero.
I'm giving him points for that, actually.
Is it a baby?
No, something? It's not, actually.
Is that the girl with the blonde pigtails?
No, Sweetums is a lot different.
We're not good at this because our children were juvenile delinquents.
In that case, I'll move quickly to the other side. Anybody else know about
Sweetums?
Sweetums?
No.
Audience, give me a two-word description. Well, that's exactly right, actually. He
what?
Is the big... furry mass of hair with owl-like eyes and two very large lower bicuspids.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Sweetums. He sort of looks like Bruce Valanche before orthodontia. You know, has that kind of... Excuse me, Mr. Valanche, I have nothing but respect. I don't know why I did that. But think Bruce Valanche needing underbite orthodontia and you got Sweetums.
Sweetums, that's the big one.
Paula, try this one. Gonzo the Great.
Ah!
Well, I mean, we know Gonzo. He's, he's got... I don't know how to describe him.
He's a turkey.
Is he a turkey?
Yeah, he's a turkey vulture. Isn't he?
No! Gonzo's not a turkey.
Well, oh, no. I'm thinking the other one. Okay.
He looks a little bit like... Does he look...
Yeah, it's the...
He has a long beak.
He has a long beak and a cape.
Yes, he does. Yes,
oh,
so
that's Gonzo,
So what is he if he's not a turkey? He's a vulture?
He is a turkey vulture. That's
turkey
what
vulture.
Said.
He did
say
turkey vulture.
10 points, yeah. He's got the long nose that turns down. And when he is Gonzo the Great, he has the cape, the red and yellow cape, you know, tights. And
saving other Muppets
right.
from reruns.
Saving other puppets from reruns. And finally, Barry, try this one. What might you be looking at when you see Snuffleupagus?
Mr. Snuffleupagus was that big creature that's actually produced by having about 8 humans stuffed into some furry thing. And he has a trunk, and the rest of him is of parts uncertain.
Yes.
You know what?
Yeah.
10 points. That's exactly right. That's Snuffleupagus.
Blue?
Yeah, he's blue.
I don't know about this. Are there really like 32 human beings?
No, but it's one of those amazing pieces of puppetry that requires
best described
having
as a,
friends.
Yep, best described as a woolly mammoth without tusks, thick brown hair, and a long elephant-like trunk. And, of course, those eyes. That's it. Well, you know your Muppets. I'm surprised but gratified. And let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word. Two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn.
Really?
If your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds
to
come up with a definition for the word thew.
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 T-H-E-W.
Thew.
Thew.
Thew up all over you.
Folks? A quick reminder of all things Says Usian. First, there's our live performances, tapings you can attend this year and be part of the fun. You just follow the Join the Fun link on our webpage at saysyou.net. Then, there's our request for listener input, questions and suggestions, all of which can be contributed on our Got a Good One link. If you want to know about the music you're hearing, what's next to come, and where you can hear us again, it's all at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Testing the limits of bass and cello after this. Now I'd like to turn the proceedings over to Mr. Spencer Hovesco.
Thank you very much. I need to speak to introduce this piece because one thing I've learned in my 1,097 consecutive weeks of marriage is that when you have an opportunity to speak, take it. There's a time in our history so ugly and so foul, those of us who survived it have hidden all evidence and rarely speak of it. Some of you have figured, I'm sure, that I'm speaking of D-I-S-C-O. That's right. I dared spell it, disco. This was a time when grown men would wear bright white shoes, matching white pants that flared at the bottom, white belts, white shirts tucked in, unbuttoned to their navel, gold jewelry intermixed with chest hair. And the women, not to be outdone, would go to their sock drawer and cut off the top of a sock and say to the world, "Behold, my new blouse." And it was at this time that a group of musicians calling themselves the Village People that wrote a melody that sounded like this. Meanwhile, over in England sat an Englishman, amongst others. It's almost as if they congregate there. And upon hearing this melody, he felt that he could write a melody of equal quality using the exact same notes, and his melody sounded like this. So YMCA by the Village People, and Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne. So we're going to play for you today a bottom line duo social chamber music disco tribute to heavy metal icon Ozzy Osbourne's groovy top 40 dance hit Crazy Train. In order to be authentic disco, we're going to need audience participation in the form of hand claps. There is a four-bar phrase that happens in the middle of this piece, and it repeats three times, and we need a hand clap on the and of three and beat four. It happens three times. I'll show you when we get there.
That is the Bottom Line Duo. Thank you very much, guys, for giving us a little time with the word thew. We will go first to Tony Khan.
Well, it's actually called few. Few is the proper pronunciation, I believe. Few. And those of you who are in my physical condition and basically don't expect that ever to change may be familiar with it. It's in the form of something called the Thewmaster. It's an exercise device for baby boomers. It looks like a pen, so you can try clicking it and you can build up your thumb. Or you can just, if you want a full body workout, just drop it on the floor and try to pick it up. The Thewmaster, which is a very hot item, let me tell you, is nothing but a word meaning buff. You're thew.
Thew.
Buff.
Buff?
Buff.
Buff.
Naked?
Buff.
Buff and thew.
No, not in the buff. Buff, to be
buff.
In shape.
Buff. Buff.
Okay. Buff. Toned.
Toned.
Buff, toned.
Buff. Thew.
Thew. Thew. Okay. Very buff, thew. Very toned. It could be that, or it could be something else. What say you, Garland?
Well, when I was a child, my father and mother took my brother and me on a first family vacation to Washington, D.C. Eisenhower was president at the time. And all the way up from Virginia Beach, Virginia to Washington, D.C., my father would turn to my brother in the back seat of the car and say, "Johnny, don't touch anything." What did I say? Don't touch anything. We drive a little bit. Don't touch anything. So it's a true story. We got to the White House. We were parking. My brother says, "What's this?" It's the fire alarm in front of the White House. But a thew is a repeated warning.
It's a what? Warning?
A repeated warning.
A repeated
warning.
Warning.
Thew, thew, thew.
It could be that. Or, Barry, something else.
A thew is just a leather thong. It's, I think you recall Sylvester often talked about, "I thought I saw a thew." It was before he was funny in the cartoon.
Yes, yes. It was just...
You mean that's
he
it?
He got better.
Yeah.
Leather thong?
That's it?
What else does it have to be if it's a leather thong?
Well, I'm sure nowadays if they made leather thongs, they would do more, but when it was
well,
just...
Well, now, could we ask a follow-up question?
Does it chafe? I think that's all the follow-up we need. I really do.
I was just going to ask if it was a shoe or something else.
No, it is...
But either way, the question stands. Does it chafe?
It is...
It's the last part.
I don't think it means thong in the sense of Victoria's Secret thong. I think.
Oh.
What other kind is it?
What?
I mean, not that I would know. What? I mean, what other kind is there?
I don't get the catalogs. But I thought it meant that, like a leather piece that, you know, it's a long thing like a boot lace.
You know something? I think we're just going to go with leather thong and let it go at that.
Okay.
I think
because, you know, anything else, any other investigations we do cannot possibly help our cause here.
Nope.
It is either a leather thong, a repeated warning, or to be buff and toned. It's one of those three, and Carolyn, it's up to you to decide.
Well, I think if you were buff and toned, you could use a repeated warning about wearing a leather thong. Yeah. And so concise it would be. Yeah. Don't thew it. What do we think, team? Well, I think your team has decided that thinking has nothing to do with it.
You're talking about
the tone.
This is a wild guess.
And your wild guess is?
I don't know. How about leather thong? Just for fun.
All right, if that's your idea of fun, Arnie, what do you think?
Yes, I'll be going with repeated warning.
Well, sure, why don't we go with the leather thong just for fun?
Is that your choice? The leather thong?
She be the captain.
I'm the captain.
That's the captain steps up. That's what she says. She says that Barry, a thew is a leather thong. Is that in fact what it is?
The models at Victoria's Secret can sleep safe tonight because that's not what it is. Right.
That is a bluff.
All right.
10 points for Tony.
Well, we had fun with that anyway.
All right, audience, what do you think? How many say buff and tone? How many say a repeated warning? Whoa. Boy, that's really hard to tell. I'm not sure which one. So someone up there was telling the truth. Who was it?
Well, although I think the only response to a few is bless you or kithuntite, it is a muscular strength and power or buff and tone.
That's what it is. 10 points for Tony's team.
Buff and tone.
Let's close tonight with a round titled, I Know I've Heard That Before. The following phrases are forever familiar. From where or from whom did they originate? Carolyn, his campaign experience taught him that an army marches on its stomach.
Oh, Arnie.
Napoleon.
Napoleon is exactly right. 10 points. Very good. Now,
hence we eat Napoleons.
I believe the second half of that quotation, but baby, you can walk all over me.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Tony,
yes.
The third most quoted writer in the Oxford Dictionary of Quotations forever immortalized the phrase, to damn with faint praise.
To damn with, well, it's not Shakespeare, because he'd be number one.
I sure would.
And it's not the Bible, because that would probably be number two.
Yep.
Ben Jonson.
It is not.
Oh, it is.
Oliver Goldsmith.
He's running down the list.
Ill fares the land to hastening ills of prey, where wealth accumulates and men decay.
So who would be number three? Who is up there? Would that be Dickens?
No, it's not.
No, because I know this. I know
third most quoted writer in the Oxford Dictionary of Quotations.
Ben Franklin.
No, what a great guess.
W.C. Fields.
Yeah. You know, I had a W.C. Fields. I took it out.
Yeah.
To and damn it, with faint praise.
Might be Pope.
Darn.
I don't think they're going to get it.
No, I'm sorry.
It's not their day today. No. Other side, do you have any thoughts?
It's not Alexander Pope.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is.
Of course.
It's Alexander Pope.
Of course.
Should have taken the credit.
That one hurt, Tony. That one really hurt. But that's all right. Try this one, Arnie. This iconic leader summed up his political philosophy, God must love the common man. He made so many of them.
And the beginning of that was what? A military?
This iconic leader summed up his political philosophy, God must love the common man. He made so many of them.
Talleyrand?
Oh, no, that's a great guess, but that's not it.
He made so many of them.
Machiavelli?
No, nothing to...
Is it British?
Well, no, it's not.
Is it French?
No, it's American.
American.
It is American.
I know.
Ben Franklin.
It's not Ben Franklin, no.
John Adams.
It's not John Adams,
Patton.
No.
Patton.
Patton? No. I don't think Patton would have... No. I think I have to go to the other side.
Will Rogers.
Not Will Rogers.
No.
His political philosophy, audience?
Mark Twain.
Abraham Lincoln.
Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, wow.
God must love the common man. He made so many of them. Oh. Try this one, Garland. In his masterwork, he reminded us that the darkest places in hell are reserved for those who maintain their neutrality in times of moral crisis.
Oh. Sounds like Thomas Mann.
Ooh, we got an ooh from that one. In his masterwork, he reminded us that the darkest places in hell are reserved for those who maintain their neutrality in times of moral crisis.
That was Walt Disney, I think.
It was Walt Disney. That's absolutely.
And then he proceeded to do exactly the opposite.
There's that famous quote, if it's when we all play it safe, we create a world of utmost insecurity. But that's not the quote.
No, that's is that Franklin?
No. Barry suggesting Winston Churchill.
No. Way before. In his master work, I think, is
well,
really
it sounds like Dostoevsky, doesn't it?
No, it's not that. Oh, this is a hard category. But I think you'll like the answer when you hear it. Any help from the other side?
It's not Machiavelli?
It's not. Any help from the audience? Dante is right.
Dante.
Oh. From his master work, obviously, is the clue.
Hello.
Well, right, country.
This is a hard category, but we'll keep doing and see how we do. Paula, this monarch ironically remarked, "Every dog has his day."
Oh, right, King Fido.
King Fido.
Are we into Louis?
Is it one of those Louis?
I'm sorry?
One of those Louis?
No, it's none of the
Louis.
In fact,
George III.
Fairly ironic that it would be phrased this way.
Every dog has his day. Why would it be
King
ironic?
King Charles Spaniel.
King Charles Spaniel. This monarch ironically replied, "Every dog has his day."
George III.
No, the ironic word in this sentence is his.
Oh, what a clue. Oh.
Every dog
what
has
a clue.
His
Queen Victoria.
Day.
Not Victoria.
Queen Elizabeth.
Yep, Queen Elizabeth I.
First.
Whoa.
That's right. Do you have any idea why she was saying this?
Is it about Raleigh?
Is it about the corgis?
No, it's... It's about neither of that. It was about her chances to succeed to the throne.
Oh.
She said, eventually, every dog has his day. You got 3 points because you got to Elizabeth before we all had to go home.
Yes.
Yep.
And finally, I love this one, Barry. This poet laureate suggested that a diplomat is a person who knows a woman's birthday, but not her age.
That's a good one.
Poet laureate.
Yep.
Robert Frost.
Robert Frost. Nice. 10 points. Nice close. Nice to you guys.
10 points.
A good day. It was a tough day for Tony's team. It was just a really hard set of questions, but it was a great day for Carolyn's team. Winners this week, 80 points.
All right.
Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. I want to thank Shirley Bossier. I want to thank all the folks here at Town Hall Seattle who really give us a home when we come. I want to thank Luke Kerwall for stepping up and being our engineer this week and doing a fabulous job. And I want to thank Jeff Hansen, Arvid Hawkinson, and Katie Mullen, and all the folks at KUOW who have been our friends for years and years. Thank you guys for doing such a great job out here for the people of Seattle. Every few weeks, we remind you that this show is best when we get your questions, when we get your comments, and most of all, when you show up. Thank you, Seattle, for showing up. See you next week.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available.
Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says you.
created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.
Today in Studio 360, take that tired old buddy cop movie formula and flip it on its head. What you end up with is this.
I am a federal agent.
What are those?
They're banks. They just hold everything together.
Why? What's going to come popping out?
I'll talk with the team behind the funny new lady cop action comedy, The Heat.
Women are half the population of the world, and yet of studio releases, we are the only movie this summer to star women.
We pack up and head to Hawaii with the humorous Jack Handy.
There was a spring in my step. So